tomorrow morning, after months of worrying and working and preparing, the Humble and Fred street front storefront studio will be open for business.
Yes, we're very excited. We're going to welcome several guests tomorrow. Just, you know, listeners walking off the street, enjoy it. I'm going to Costco today and I'm going to get a selection of sweets for you to enjoy. It's going to be a grand, grand day.
Scheduled to appear Luca Rossi, Dan Duran, Jeff Lumbee. There's others. Ali Hassan.
Ali Hassan.
And many, many more. And believe me, that street's going to be rocking. 7 a.m. tomorrow. I'm Todd Shapiro. Todd Shapiro will be there. Todd Shapiro. From the Todd Shapiro.
I think this should end.
Redhead Senorita looking dead. Came to set and eat a bed in Espanol. So give me a drink of water. I'm going to sing around the collar. And I don't need a microphone.
This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Squatty Potty and FreshBooks, and our newest sponsor, Mitsubishi Motors of Canada. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, deep in the spinal cord of Sirius XM Canada.
Oh,
if you'd like to talk
please.
To Humble and Fred, call 1-877-965-2844. That's 1-877-965-2844.
Todd Shapiro on the show tomorrow. It's going to be great. Big grand opening of the storefront. The Humble and Fred storefront Squatty Potty Performance Zone.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you remember the last time we had a get-together there? I went and bought that selection of sweets, and there were some macaroons. They were very tasty. Would you like me to get some more of those tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, do it.
The macaroons were very tasty. They melted in your mouth, Howard.
There's a store on the Queensway called Macaroons.
Is that what they sell? Nothing but macaroons?
Yeah.
Come on. But it's probably very dear. I wouldn't want to go there. They probably ask a lot for their macaroons.
It's probably very what?
Dear.
Okay. It's probably very dear. Do you guys know what that means?
They're precious or more, they're really expensive.
That's right.
It's my aunt used to say that all the time.
They're opulent.
Yeah.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. You're channeling your aunt.
Hello.
Those macaroons.
My aunt Betty. Everybody.
You had an Aunt Betty.
Yeah.
The macaroons are very dear, Fred.
I told you about my Aunt Betty. We would have a family get together and she'd make a casserole or something and spend most of the afternoon or evening asking people if they had tried her casserole.
I know everyone's got an Aunt Betty. I had an Aunt Betty. Oh, Aunt Betty.
Sweet.
Bam a lamb. Oh, Aunt Betty. Bam a lamb. Back Betty had a jerk casserole. Bam a lamb. Man, thing you like my casserole.
She used to make this thing with little marshmallows and coconut.
Yes.
It was bizarre.
I remember.
Kids liked it more.
I remember going to family dinners where somebody would bring out a casserole. It was those flat noodles and I guess what must have been mushroom soup. You know what I mean? That sort of creamy casserole
with chicken.
Chicken and little peas in it. Mm-hmm. And then they would reveal it as though it were something. Look, I've baked a mushroom. I opened up a can of mushroom soup and drizzled it over some flat noodles.
Yeah. I mean, really, it was a box of Hamburger Helper dressed up.
Or the worst would be when they put a can of tuna in there, mm-hmm. in the flat noodles.
Have you tried my tuna casserole? Freddie, have you tried my tuna casserole? Everyone raves about my tuna casserole. You should try it. It's at the end of the table.
And would you say things like, no, oh, Black Betty.
Aunt Betty.
Welcome, everybody. Humble and Fred Show. It's Humble and Fred from the storefront Squatty Potty Performance Zone and the 5-Hour Energy Green Room. I've got a lot of people I have to take care of as a general sales manager.
Yes, it all fits nicely because there actually is a separate, distinct areas of the new studio that, you know, before it was just one big environment. Now there's
an
area that can be the five-hour energy performance area. The Squatty Potty Studios.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here she come. Got a casserole. Put some mushroom soup.
We should name, get somebody to sponsor the bathroom, too.
That's also part of the Squatty Potty contract. Here come Aunt Betty. Aunt Betty got a casserole. Hey, Freddy, like my casserole? Mm-hmm. What? What?
Aunt Betty, too, if you visit her, she'd talk about, like, towels she bought and how lovely they were. And then she'd go to the cupboard and bring them out and sort of show them to you. The towels.
Wait a second.
Look at, I got these at the Bay. They were only $4 each. Look at them.
That sounds exactly like you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you.
What? That sounds like me. I would show you towels.
Hang on a second, Aunt Betty. Guitar solo, Aunt Betty. All right. I was kidding. Fuck, sorry for trying to start a bit root. Aunt Betty. Aunt Betty had a child.
Get up.
Freddy P. had a damn thing way wild.
Here's the bit root. I'm talking about my aunt, who would come and go into the cupboard and get towels and bring them out into the living room while you were visiting and show you the towels she bought.
Yes.
Like you were really interested, right? Like it was a game changer. All right? And then he says, sounds like you.
I'm
not supposed to take exception to that?
I'm not supposed to take exception.
Was that blocking? Should I have gone with that and said, you're right, Howard. I love to show towels to men.
When I came, are you trying to tell me that when I came to, you're a nasty woman. When I came to your home to pick up my dog, that you didn't walk me around the house saying, look, here's some beautiful towels.
No. I didn't.
And here's some other things.
No, I didn't. You had said to me, I want to come see your backyard. I said, great, come on. At no point did I go up to the cupboard and grab a bunch of fucking towels and show you.
I disagree.
I believe. Oh, I forgot. Did I forget that part?
I believe you did. I believe my recollection is that you said, Howard, I've got some new towels.
Hey, when I do that.
And then you went into the oven and pulled out a beautiful casserole. And I saw the can of mushroom soup discarded in the recycling.
Mm-hmm. There is one with rice and mushrooms and like consomme. Mm. And you pour it in. That's a nice casserole.
Yes,
nice
it is.
Nice little compliment. Yeah.
Yes, it is, Aunt Freddy.
It sounds like an easy go risotto almost.
Listen, man, I got nothing to say to you. You have a beautiful home.
I know.
You have a beautiful backyard.
I appreciate you.
You are a hard worker around the house, and I can only aspire. I can only imagine what you and your beautiful family are up to.
One thing I would say about you.
What's that?
Where
I'm
sort
a
of
dink.
No. A man that lives on his own now,
yes,
like you. Just because there's not a woman in the house doesn't mean you don't need, you know, towels and hand towels and face towels and bath towels.
Yeah.
No, that's what I mean. And other appointments around the home that you have that traditionally women sort of look after. Like in my house. I mean, none of that stuff. It even never crosses my mind, but it's there. Here you are now. In your situation, you have to fucking get her done.
Well, the thing is, I've been in my situation, as you call it, for quite a while. I mean, I set up the last home I lived in before Lady Friend moved in. It was set up by me and my kids with a little help from my ex-wife. And then, you know, when she and I sort of started going out, she would help me, but in this new place, you know who I've gotten a great deal of help from? Is Dan Duran. In terms of the aesthetic, because that's what you're talking about. You know, Spencer I'm being sort of serious. Like, you know, you want your place to look good whether you have a woman in your life or not, is what you're saying. Am I right?
Yeah, even beyond that, there's certain little necessities that
you have to have. You need hand towels.
That guys don't often think of.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, part of the thing for me as a single dad, I've had daughters that have been living with me at various times. So that trip to IKEA with Spencer was to appoint her room. Now, she hasn't unpacked a lot of the stuff. No, that's not true. We put all the towels away. But what I was going to say about Dan has a great eye. When I say the aesthetic of my place, like, I wanted things in a certain way. Where those pictures are, the reason I waited for Dan to help me hang them was not because I needed help hanging them. I just wanted to get somebody else's opinion, especially whether they're a man or a woman, somebody with a good eye. Delise mm-hmm. has a good eye. Just happens to be that kind of person. Your friend Darren has a good eye. What I think I have is I have a...
You've got a bum's eye for clothes.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Okay.
Go ahead. Right, I'm sorry.
I don't mind. Mm-hmm. Listen, I deserve it. I called you an old woman who brings casseroles to parties and shows talents. It's fair game. I'm a fucking asshole. What I think I have is I think I have a... I know what I want. Strangely enough, where everything is right now, in terms of the aesthetic of what's been set up so far, it's exactly like I want it.
Good.
Now, I'm going to take some advice from, you know, you and some others that have said, you know, moving some things around once mm-hmm. all this move gets done. But I looked around the place, and I'm pretty happy with it. I mean, yeah. I know there's lots of stuff that can be improved, but I'm pretty happy with where things are.
And you should be.
We're excited to have everyone at our studio tomorrow. We are working feverishly. That means through a fever.
Yeah, you know, live and learn. If we'd have just, let's be honest, if we'd have made it the 28th instead of the 21st, it would have probably been better, but we didn't.
And listen,
so as you say, working fever.
And we pushed it back. You don't remember this, but we were originally going to do it a week earlier, I think.
Were we?
I think so. Right,
I thought
Phil?
It was the end of the month that we were supposed to move, and then that first day in October. Something like that.
Well, no, originally we were going to try and get us on the air, I think, a week earlier. I think we pushed this back, Fred, even a week. But, okay. You know, listen, live and learn. We could have used none. The studio itself looks great. The office is downstairs. We spent... another good few hours putting up pictures yesterday. What was your day like, Mr. Hong? Because you went home yesterday after we left SiriusXM, and we went back to our office. Mm-hmm. Just curious, what was your day like?
Well, I got home, did my work as we always do every day, and then I picked Jen up and picked Liz up, and then we all went and had Korean food in Thornhill.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oy. So another busy day in the Hong household.
Yeah, it's all good. Life is good.
Is it? Yeah. Well, we were putting up pictures and cleaning up the office again for some time, a couple hours. I was there all day. Fred, what time did you leave? Around 3?
Something like 2:30.
Yeah, you left to go watch the baseball game. We'll get to the baseball game. You know, it was a weird thing, though. I don't even know. Can you help? Maybe you should help describe this. We have a big area rug on top of a carpet, and the size of it basically fits the entire office itself. Part of Phil's desk is on one side of the room, and the legs of Phil's desk are on it. And by the way, we put up some pictures of you yesterday because you were too busy with Jen and the group.
Well, I was also buying tax for today so I can go and hang up some other stuff.
Buying what?
Yeah, I bought tax.
Tax for what? We've hung everything up.
Pushpins.
Yeah, we've hung everything up. Everything's hung up.
Yeah, just in case then.
Okay, great.
You went and bought some tax.
Yeah, good. So that was a full day. So this carpet on one side of the room is under Phil's desk. On the other side of the room, 10 or 12 feet away, it's underneath the fridge. You with me so far, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. I guess we put it up there for the first time on Friday, and we found it bunching up around the bottom of the fridge because the fridge air was picking up the carpet and sort of making it look swollen.
So, carpet muncher.
At first we thought it was just blowing the carpet up. Hmm. But this carpet is, I think it's what would it be? It's probably like a 7x12. Okay, the dimensions.
Yeah,
go ahead,
Howard.
So at first we thought it was just blowing up that area by the fridge.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm starting to find.
And then on further investigation, we realized the 7x12 carpet, which was on top of another carpet, which you think would give it good traction.
Like it wasn't on top of tile or linoleum.
Had moved.
Moved!
Completely moved. And not by a bit. Like 5-6 inches moved. So we thought, oh, that's weird. I guess walking on it or whatever. has moved the carpet. So we moved it over a little bit away from the fridge and then actually put it under Phil's desk.
Yeah, that's the, yeah. No, you're right. I wanted you to help me describe it because so at first we just laid it down and we found it bunching up by the fridge. And so we pulled it over toward Phil's desk, which is on the other side of the room, and put the legs of Phil's desk on it. And this was in the morning. Oh, no, that was the day before. Mm-hmm. When we came there yesterday, it had moved from under Phil's legs. And I said to Fred,
you, Phil, it was no longer under the desk.
We're not kidding.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Carpet or something?
What I'm trying to say is it moved a few inches.
Like
not a little
bit. Desk? Under the desk?
Yes. While you were driving your children.
Oh my under the desk and moved back towards the fridge and was bunched up again.
Oh, my God.
So my recollection was, oh, well, we must not have put it fully underneath those legs the day before. And Fred said, no, I think we did. So we did it again. At some point mid-morning yesterday, we pulled the carpet mm-hmm. underneath your desk again. And then a few hours later, we looked, and it had moved again. And now, we're tripping shits.
Okay, and then we fixed it again.
Yeah.
Did you look this morning?
Too scared. Too scared to look okay. down. And I said to Fred, we cannot tell Spencer that we think that the carpet's haunted.
Or that room is... Seriously, possessed. Guys. Yeah. It's carpet on carpet, which is major traction. And then a heavy desk that you have to lift hard to put the carpet under. And somehow it moved.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm not into that shit. But the thing is, I'm not into like supernatural stuff and all that. But I'm thinking, you know, just from a physical, logical standpoint, it's illogical that this could move.
Yes.
So and then I'm thinking of all the people we've dissed and all the dead people that have been on the show.
Al fucking, that's Al Waxman.
Yeah.
That's that other guy. Hey, Humble and Fred, I'll move your carpet. So here's the thing.
Suck your rug.
We put it back. 5 or 6 inches of the carpet pulled through your desk feet away from that rug. And then I measured it.
And I also taped it.
And he taped it.
Oh, so there's carpet tape on the bottom?
Carpet tape on the bottom.
I got really good duct tape, you know, and rolled it, made it double side, and then put it under the carpet.
Yeah. And then I measured it.
And it's then, 5 and 7.
Okay. See, you now, okay, this is freaking me the fuck out. Here's why. Because on one side, and you heard me say 5, and then went to the other side and measured it 7. Right? We said 5 and 7. And the reason I knew that was the number is because I said, oh, it adds up to 12. So later in the afternoon, I went down and I measured it again. 4.5 and 5. Tell me that could fucking happen.
You did measure?
I measured it. I measured it at about 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And I thought to myself, I'm absolutely sure we said 5 and 7.
Well, we did, and that doesn't make sense.
4.5 and 5. So it's moved again a couple of inches.
No, but if it moves, so if it moved 4.5, then it should be 7.5. So I don't know where you're getting those dimensions.
Or maybe it went the other way.
I'm just telling you, on one side, it was where it was 5, it's now 4.5. On the side that, I know it doesn't make sense.
No, but I'm just saying if it moved half an inch, then it's got, the 7 part's got to be 6.5 or 7.5.
You come and see for yourself.
Well, what, the carpet's frank?
Okay, maybe I'm wrong by 3/4 of an inch.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it's not 5 and 7 anymore, son.
You know, there is a technical explanation for this. It's just, what is it?
I'll tell you what it is. This shit. I'm not going down there again.
Maybe it used to be a flower shop. Maybe there was a murder down there.
Yeah, like a dead florist on the bottom, a competitor or something.
At Queen's Flowers. Oh, my pretties.
I'll give you a bunch.
Wait, is that the ghost of Aunt Betty's casserole? Uh-oh, Aunt Betty. Mamma lamma bobo.
Hey, Phil, come over here and plant tulips.
That's money shit.
Violets are blue.
Yeah, a tenor. One of them was a tenor.
They're also blue.
Come on over here and plant tulips, Fred.
Hey, that's my favorite bit, where you forget his name and then you close.
Call him myself.
Come on over here, Fred.
Yeah.
You know, Kyle, that's my penis size, 3/4 inch.
Don't talk to Kyle about your penis size. He doesn't give a shit. He's like a regular person. So I don't know what the hell that is. I don't know what it means. All I know is come over here and plant tulips is the secondary, and the closer is, hey, one of them was a tenor.
Hey.
I don't know what it is, man.
Oh, the gold just keeps coming.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm like the K-Tel of fucking corn. Anyway.
You're like the fucking Kevin Hart of corn. You really are.
Okay, you know what we should do? We should start talking about this debate.
Well, not yet. We're just doing opening remarks. Fuck, man. We got all day to talk about the
debate.
We should
jump right into top of mind, you know.
Yeah, well, this, you know, I don't know. I thought that first half hour was fairly entertaining.
It was.
First 20 minutes. It's not over yet. We're just getting started. So the bottom line is we're going to be in our new studio tomorrow morning. And I'm excited.
I don't think we have any choice.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I said. Mm-hmm. We're not, hopefully, mm-hmm. we are going to be. Mm-hmm. It's exciting. We are proud. The weird haunted carpet aside, the office looks great. Phil, we tidied up more things around your desk. I know you went out and got tax. That's a full day. But, yeah, we were there all day again. We hung up some nice pictures. And it looks good.
Oh, we got some nice monitor speakers. Which I think are going to be nicer than the other ones we had.
Yeah, I was playing with them. I was dicking around with them last night. They sound great.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, the wireless. I got those at home on my bookshelf, and they're great for music. It fills the
I was going to say, they're tiny Bose speakers, yeah, but they fill the room.
Yeah.
And just they're just a little bit better than the ones we had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the ones we had were fine. They were great computer speakers.
They just didn't look good.
No, they were sort of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they look like computer speakers you got for your kid.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, it looks great, and we're pretty proud of the. I mean, the pictures on the wall look cool. We put some pictures on the stairway. Painter Chris Brown was there, touching up the walls today. I think Chris Emanuel's coming in to put the names of the donors of our crowdfund campaign on the wall.
And they have to be added to, which is fine. From now on, it's in Brampton, so I could just pick up the extra names.
And you know who gave us the latest $100 donation at our GoFundMe campaign?
I saw.
Amanda Barker. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Amanda. And she says, there's a place for you to put a little note with your donation. She says, my brown starfish.
Oh!
Thanks you both. Many great hangs. That's what Amanda Barker said at the GoFundMe campaign, where we are currently at, excuse me, is $7,620. That's pretty impressive.
And if you go to the main page of GoFundMe, they have like a green status line, and it's cool to see it approaching $10,000, which we never, honestly, I don't think we really thought we'd ever get there. But Amanda Barker and recently Stephanie Ditta, Riaz Rahman.
Yep.
Scott Turinen. Aileen Comey. Those names got to be added to the ones I submitted. So they just keep rolling in. And really, you know, you think when this campaign goes on, it's like, even if it's just one or two people a day, fuck, you know, over the weeks and months, it adds up. And obviously it does.
But that does, you know, you like to say this, but that goes without saying.
Yeah.
Well, no, the adds up part.
This one is interesting. Scott Turinen, $212. I wonder what the significance. Let's see what he says here. One more reach out to the people I love, but you guys give return. That's wonderful. See? Return. He gets return on his investment.
Yeah. I just got to quit. Literally, this is late breaking Humble and Fred news. Rick Cameron just sent me a note. Is it too late to get an invite for Friday? No, it's not too late. He says, can only stay to 8 as I have real grown up work to do. If not, we'll drop by around Christmas. Cheers, ya buggers. But I'm saying you are, of course, welcome to drop in.
Thank you, Cameron.
No, it's great. Speaking of my sweet little wife, were we speaking of her on or off the air? I forget. Or weren't we?
when we were comparing her to someone, was that on the air or off the air?
I don't know. I think that was...
Was that off the air?
That was okay. Off the air.
All right.
I was telling
just
you
to
how...
to be clear.
To be clear.
He was telling me how lucky... Yeah, he continuously tells me how lucky... He tells me I have no idea how lucky I am to have my wife. And I have an idea. I have an idea. I have ideas.
Well, it's a figure of speech.
I know.
Such as the same way the other day, I think somebody said, do you have a ladder? I said, I have a million ladders. And he said to me, oh, you have a million?
Where do you keep them all?
Where do you keep them all? I go, you know what? You're wasting my time. Get to the bridge. Anyway, that's a Star Trek thing. You're wasting my time, Mr. Spock. Yeah, I said, yeah, we got a million. I said, well, here's the thing. Once you get more than two ladders, which I have three, that's like a million. Yeah.
That one that was out on the street yesterday, is that the highest one, the tallest one?
No, I got another
There's
one.
There's a taller one?
Oh, yeah. That's the one I actually, the tallest one I have, I brought from home. Brought from my other place. I don't know how I inherited it, but it's a huge ladder. It'll go to the second floor. Why do you? Oh, I know why. Because you've got an idea, sign idea.
Mm-hmm. I think it may work.
All right,
we'll see.
Well,
I have those signs all tucked away doing nothing. You know, even if they got weathered a bit over the next few days, it doesn't matter. We can have them replaced.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
What about your wife?
What about her? Oh.
Okay, fuck.
No, she was going to come, and then she found out, you know, somebody's away. She's got to work tomorrow, so she can't make it. Although my prince of a boy, I think, is coming.
Oh, you're saying your wife was going to come to our grand opening of our first ever Squatty Potty Storefront Performance Zone.
Right.
2.0.
Slash. 5-hour energy.
5-hour energy.
Green
room. Sitting area.
Dungeon.
But she's working. It's funny. Yes. And you're the prince of your son, Daniel.
I told
Patterson.
Dan to come and bring his camera.
Yeah. I'll tell you who else is going to be there. It's going to have a camera. It's our boy Dan Duran.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And his prince of a son, my godson, called me yesterday.
Really? What for?
It was interesting. I go, because my phone rings and it's Dan's number. So I go, hey, Dan Duran. He goes, no, it's Colton calling. I went, Colton, what's up, my boy? And he said, well, I'm in grade 9, as you are well aware. You know how he talks. He's so fucking funny. And he said,
take your kid to work day.
Grade 9.
Since it's in November. Yeah.
Take your grade 9 to work day. Mm-hmm. And he said, I don't know if my dad's going to be working that day because he's a freelancer. He said something like, so that will be problematic. I said, okay. So he wants to come and go to work with his godfather, me, and you. So he's going to come, and him and his dad will stay over the night before, and he'll hang out in the studio with us that day.
Interesting.
That was so sweet. And I had Spencer in the car, and she was just, like, we get so much joy out of this kid because he's so fucking smart and funny and neat, and just the way he talks. She kept saying to me, Daddy, he's so cute. I said, I know, he's something else, that kid.
I was surprised there a couple of weeks ago. I was cleaning out. Again, there are neighbors at the Tin Palace. And I was cleaning out the fridge, and there was a big bottle of root beer there. And I don't know. I just, the way Dan and his wife are, you know, with organics and all that shit, I thought, I'm sure Colton can't have this. So I'm going to go offer it to him. So I went to this big jug of root beer, and I said, here, Colton, do you want this, right? And he goes, sure. And I said to Dan, I just gave him a big bottle of root beer. And he said, oh, that's okay. Which I was surprised. Because I thought, like, a big bottle of sugary root beer would be totally out of the question. And he may have drained half the fucker before we left.
Well, you're just...
A lot of people don't give their kids pop.
Well, no, I know. And I'm just saying, that's, I see a pattern developing.
Why?
Well, like, you give strange kids sugary pop. You give my dog fucking cashews.
Yes.
Like the other day, I just look over and Stan's next to him. And he's got a handful of cashews and he just throws them one. I go, what are you doing?
And now Stan has lost his innocence. Now, he wants the cashews.
Yeah. What else are you doing? But I said to him, I don't give the dog treats. I give him dog treats, but I don't give him human food. But there's Uncle Freddy just throwing cashews at him. And now what's happened is every time I grab a handful of cashews, Stan's up there looking at me like, come on, man, give me the cashews. They're so fucking good.
Are you serious? Did that? Like, before I gave him that one cashew, he wouldn't have begged like that?
Never does.
So because I gave him one cashew.
Yeah, you've turned him into a street person.
A cashew addict.
Seriously. Yeah, he's like somebody, you know, stops your car in the garden. Hey, give me some money. That's what Stan is like. Hey, man, when's that Fred man coming back with the cashews? big day. Anyway, tomorrow we'll get the show started. Now we don't have any brand new T-shirts, but we have some T-shirts. We can probably give those to people.
No, we don't.
We don't have any T-shirts at all.
Pretty well cleaned out. But listen. There's going to be. I don't know. Should I go and get? You know, the jugs of coffee again. Do they ever get drunk?
No.
And then
we should probably have one thing of coffee.
The Hortons is right there. I'll swing in there today and set it up.
Now, we have a great T-shirt supplier. Fred Ball is... Fred Ball is a great guy. He is a guy who drives a Mitsubishi like an angel. And called us up as soon as we got the Mitsubishi Motors sponsorship, which we are super proud of. But he's been getting us T-shirts. Now, what are we paying for those T-shirts? Do you know, like, is it under $10?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Usually we get 300 and some odd for, like, $1,000 or something.
Because I may have found, that's amazing.
No, it's a great deal. No, he gets us a super deal, okay. Howard. The thing is, sometimes the price pops up with the artwork and this new style that we're looking at.
Yeah.
I think it's going to cost a little bit more.
Well,
and still,
and of course,
only around $4 or $5.
As any savvy trader will tell you, the price of T-shirts is tied to the markets. You know, it'll pop up and down depending on the T-shirt stocks.
And the crop of the cotton and all that
but
stuff.
I was going to say, I may have found us a new T-shirt supplier. So I'm coming home the other night from downtown. I'm on the Queensway somewhere, maybe a little bit west of Park Lawn. I thought, oh, I would like to stop in at a convenience store and get myself a delicious Freezy. Because I like Freezies when I do my medication. I do. I like to do a little medication. Then when I get a little bit, I like to have a Freezy. Yeah. But I didn't have any Freezies. Why are you looking at me like that? Don't you like to get a little medicated and have a Freezy?
Yeah, do you get high every night?
I don't know if I get high every night, but I do get medicated most evenings.
That's what you're high, asking. Isn't it?
Well, not. I don't wander around fucking sprinkling paint. I'm not doing Jackson Pollock paintings.
But if you put that apparatus to your mouth every night.
It is an apparatus.
It's not a joke. Do you put that apparatus to your mouth every fucking day?
No, I don't. Why does everything have to be a label with you? Why does everything have to
be a label?
Well, you have to label everything. Why do you have to label?
No, I'm just a little concerned.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't drink every day.
No?
Maybe 3 days.
Nice. Well, good for you. But wait, maybe you should drink more.
I'm a little concerned. I'm just in what? And then have a Freezy.
Yeah. Well, I stopped to get my Freezies. I love them.
No.
No,
it's just a little, you know, it's so easy with that apparatus that I'm just a little concerned that every day, more than once a day.
In the evening, when my work is done, I'll get a little medicated and I'll, you know, do my reading and I'll sit and look at my place and just love it and have a Freezy. So I go into
this. Do you love it as much when you're not high?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good.
And I prefer to use the term medicated. Because it's like medicine. So I stop in at this new...
Oh, right. I forgot. You're a card carrier.
Yeah, exactly. I have a prescription.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I have a prescription. Thank you, Justin Trudeau, you sweet little pot angel. So anyway, I stop in this variety store. Never seen it before. I come in there. It's a Korean... I'm sorry. Is it okay to say it's a Korean variety store like the TV show?
Yeah, the kids talk about
the most racist TV show ever in the history of racism.
I lose track. Because the thing is...
Kim's Convenience is a new show on CBC.
Right. Yeah. It's right over the top.
So over the
with
top.
With Asian or Korean stereotypes.
Oh, yeah.
But because they're Koreans, that's okay. So it's even... Like, if you said to that Korean person, showed them that, a white person doing that, they'd say, oh, that's offensive. But then they do the show and take it over the top, and it's okay. I don't even know if that's the right comparison or whether I'm fucking... There's another thing. Have you seen the Hyundai commercials?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but the one with the three foreign people judging the car.
The American guy and the Russian guy. You see the way the Asian guy is? And I'm thinking, that's everything that an Asian person would hate about an Asian stereotype. Yeah. But here's this guy on this commercial because he's Asian. It's okay. And I know, and I just answered my own question.
Yeah, he's Asian, it's okay.
But it's over-the-top stereotype.
And the weird thing about this show on CBC, Kim's Convenience, is, yes, I know it's a portrayal of a Korean convenience store because there are lots of them. So that's cool.
No, exactly.
But the over-the-topness, and someone might argue, well, yeah, but that's how a lot of Koreans who own convenience stores sound, including the dude I talked to the other night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play a clip.
Being married to Mrs. Kim is the hardest thing I ever do.
What's hard?
Nothing. Being married.
Hardest thing I ever do.
That's what I say.
Why you say that? You is not married to you.
You's not married to you.
No, I mean, honest to God, they sound more like an old-time Japanese stereotype. Yeah. Oh, because you're not married to you. No, you're not married to you.
On set, they're saying, hey, let's really lay this on.
Well, I don't know what they're saying.
No, but you get that impression, and it's like, lay what on? All the things that we're embarrassed on when somebody else does it?
Hey, Fred.
Like, it's fucking, I don't know.
I've heard the commercial on radio. And
which one?
The Kim's Convenience. Yeah. And the guy does like a very over-the-top Asian accent. Now, as you were saying.
I just played that. That was from Kim's Convenience.
Oh, exactly. I'm talking about the radio commercial, though, which plays on all the terrestrial radio stations.
Mm-hmm. No, I heard it, too.
So we don't know that the guy is Korean because it's radio. And
that's right.
If it weren't, there'd be like heads would roll.
Heads would roll.
But listen, you know, people have been doing Jewish stereotypes, Scottish stereotypes, and Italian stereotypes for 100 years of broadcasting.
Traditionally, Scottish people on TV are cheap. No, I know. But you know what? They never make Jewish people cheap, but they'll make Scottish people cheap. Why is that? Like, it's that thing. I have an eye for value and all that shit.
Somebody who's listening to us live said, the Asian guy from the Hyundai commercial is my wife's uncle.
Wow.
He says he doesn't actually speak Japanese, so he had to learn his lines phonetically. You guys should get him on the show.
Yeah. We should. You know, on that Hyundai commercial as well, you want to talk about stereotypes. The American guy is fucking angry, and he's punching shit all the time. And he's got, like, this American accent that he puts on. And there's the latest commercial, he's beating the shit out of something.
Here's another one.
The gay discount only bought this week.
Oh, no, I'm not gay.
It's okay. Sometimes gay take time.
I'm telling you, he reminds me of. He sounds like the guy from The Karate Kid. Sometime, on the gay, take time, joke off, joke on.
Pat Morita.
But see, this is what the problem with politically correct. When you're overreaching all the time to protect people, then all of a sudden you find yourself in these situations where it's like you're chasing your tail. You're fucking like spinning like a top. It's like, what's right? What's wrong? What can I do? What can't I do? It's just bizarre.
So I go into this convenience store and the guy's Korean and he's a great guy. Here's how I know he's a great guy. There's two white guys sitting around in hoodies like yours, kind of unshaven, grubby, but just sitting around having a coffee. Mm-hmm. And I go, hey, what's up, fellas? and they say something back to me. I go, well, it's my first time. Oh, I know what it was, because the point of this is he's selling T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
There's Kirkland brand and like...
Kirkland brand?
He's got a display table.
So he buys
table.
Them at Costco and then resells them.
So he's got Kirkland brand T-shirts in black and white. He's also got some sports socks. Mm. And he's got some other socks. I'm wearing them now. Mm-hmm. So I went in there for a freezie, but I came out with a couple of T-shirts. They were selling them for $7 each,
mm-hmm.
T-shirts. And these, you know, those packages of socks for $7. So I go and I spend $28 on clothes. And I say to the guys, hey, fellas, how you doing? I said,
At a Korean convenience store
on the fucking... Queensway at 8:30 at night.
Mm.
So I say, hey, fellas, kind of cool. I get to buy, I'm doing a little shopping here. Well, I get my freezy. And they say, well, he sells them all the time, referring to the Korean guy. I said, well, it's my first time here. And they said, well, you got to get to know him. And they go, because they say this, he's an asshole. And he goes, fuck you. And they all start chirping, laughing.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
So it was like, these guys are all friends. But I thought that was kind of weird because it's, I bought two T-shirts and mm-hmm. six pairs of socks.
No,
and he didn't sound like that, though. He didn't go,
no.
Would you like some cooker and more cookie-land? You like a fleazy?
But just think about that conceptually at the CBC. So we're going to do this we're going to do this half-hour sitcom about Koreans owning convenience stores, and the main character is going to be, like, over-the-top Asian with the accent. Like, it's...
But they're meant to be, I guess, Phil? They're from Korea.
Yeah,
so
they'd be the first generation immigrants here.
Immigrants.
And then the first generation, it would be their kid.
And to be fair, you know, there's another place, the new dry cleaner in my neighborhood. Mm. He's the guy, he's Korean. His name's Howard Park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we joke because I'm Howard and he's Howard. And I say, look at us, we're almost identical. Oh, you're funny. But he has that, he has broken English. So he sounds closer to the CBC guy.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So I got a black T-shirt, $7, not bad, Kirkland, and a white one, $6.
The funny thing is, that's marked up.
What is it? What would it cost me at Costco?
Maybe $4.
Is it really? Well, he's making a... Hey.
Of course, I totally agree. Make a profit.
And he's also... Profit. But it's a weird
thing. I'm not sure he's licensed for Kirkland.
No, he's not. But that's what I thought. I thought, it's so funny. He's got jackets, winter jackets. Mm. Like, you go in there for a freezy, you come out with everything you need. It was so funny. And the guy just sent two old white dumpy dudes sitting there chirping their buddy, whatever, Mr. Lee is his name.
You know, in those stores, they just blow me away because I often, you know, when you get to be a regular in those stores, you go there and the staggering hours that these people put in.
No, it's absurd.
And you just wonder, like, how many freezies and how many $4 or $5 T-shirts does this guy have to sell to keep the lights on and the know what I mean and the stock in and provide for your family? Like, wow.
Isn't it strange that you say that? Because on my way home last night, I stopped at a place that's been there since 1952. It's been a fish and chip shop.
A fish and chip
for a long time. And then the guy that originally owned it sold it to these people that I met last night. So I thought, I got to eat something, fish and chips. And I figured, hey, it's a fish and chip shop. Mm-hmm. This must be amazing. And they were. Like, really, really good. I don't run a big French fry guy, but these were like real French fries. You know they had, you know, cut them themselves. It didn't come out of a bag. And the fish was haddock, or halibut, I'm sorry. It was amazing. Maybe it was haddock. But the whole order I made cost $10. And I thought to myself, and here's like a guy and his wife. It's 8 o'clock at night. And I said to myself, how many pieces of fish did those people have to sell today? Because there was nobody else in the place except for me.
No, I know.
I thought, how many times a day do you have to sell a piece of haddock and some fries?
That's funny. There's another studio behind us with a window, and there's a guy in there. And then you're yelling and ranting and banging the table. He just looked in with this weird look on his face.
What kind of haddock?
When are these guys going to be done?
No, I know. Where's
when are these guys going to be out of
here? How fucking underwhelming is the response by the staff here at SiriusXM Bindu? I told you that the other day. It's no typical. One wants us here.
No, I know.
But anyway, back to the fish and chips place. I had the same thought. You know, I thought, do they have 100 customers a day?
No, I know.
Do they have 6? Because if it's 100, they're grossing 1,000, but it's the Queensway. It's not. It's a pretty expensive rent and all that stuff.
And most of the stuff sold in those stores... Like, I don't know, if they sell a bag of milk for $4, what are they bringing in at? $2.50? You know what I mean? So the markup isn't so super dramatic. How much stuff do you have to sell and how many hours do you have to put on to make a go?
Well, that's why, we might want to, that's why they bring in the Kirkland shirts. We might want to do the same thing in our place.
Anyway, there was a fish and chip store near me when I was a kid. It was called Kenlinton, Kennedy and Eglinton, fish and chips. And they used to have a sign. And it said, "We fry fish." Just
he's just doing the setup, Phil. Just fucking relax, like Jesus. It said, "We fry fish."
We fry.
It's just so simplistic.
It's so simplistic, but yeah. Okay, let him finish.
We fry fish just for the halibut.
That was the funny part, Phil.
Yeah.
Okay.
We fry fish just for the halibut.
Yeah. I like the fact that they tried to fucking combine, what was it, Eglinton and
Kenlinton, yeah.
Kennedy and Eglinton.
Yeah,
that's the best part.
Kenlinton
fish.
We fry fish.
Just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody. Fuck. Okay, we got to take a break. Just, don't you think that we should go to Koski and get us like 15 or 20 Kirkland shirts? We mark them up, and then you and I'll just sign them. We just sign him up. Get a Humble and Fred T-shirt signed by Humble and Fred for $12.50. Around North America on SiriusXM, it's the Humble and Fred Show around the world at humbleandfredradio.com. The show starts in minutes.
There's no doubt in my mind where you belong.
It's Humble and Fred Radio. Around North America on SiriusXM. And at humbleandfredradio.com. BU Junior Broadcasters. Yeah, the old man just hit the post. No big deal. You know, I just do it. It's in my DNA. By the way, the guy that sent us the note about his uncle being on the Hyundai commercial.
Yeah, get him to give us the number. Well,
it turns out it was Woodstra.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Matt. I didn't actually see. I got my computer open, and I got a Facebook message, and I couldn't see who it was from, and I didn't read the second line, because Matt goes, I'm not some guy. I'm Woodstra. Oh, no. I mean, if there's any kind of inner circle of the Humble and Fred show, you got to figure the Woodstra's in there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if we were a kingdom, Woodstra and Ramos and those guys, Shizininsky and Commander Jeremy Tebby.
Oh, yeah.
All those people.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
Knights of the Round Table status.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, and by the way, speaking of which, the nice people at ART Catering are actually in to cater our Friars Club dinner. So that's going to be amazing. Not only do I get to host it, or we get to host it, but I don't have to make anything. We don't have to do it. It's all catered. That's going to be insane.
You know that idea I gave you yesterday about the brewery?
Yes.
I was thinking about that more. We should invite them up. Just as, you know, that business, what do they call it? Business improvement.
BIA.
You know, and they like new businesses to come into the area because it helps other businesses. We should invite them up as.
Invite them to our show, but not to the dinner party.
Oh, no. Invite them to our show.
Yes.
Invite them up and in and then talk about their product, and maybe they can become the official beer of the Humble and Fred Show, which we're still searching for an official beer.
And the Queensway BIA, the Business Improvement Association, has featured us in their weekly newsletter or whatever. Did you put a picture of it up on our Facebook?
Yes.
While you're looking at the internet, would you also tell us a little thing about what's happening at FYI Music News? Because I believe...
Mine certainly.
I would appreciate it.
Hey, don't forget, at FYIMusicNews.ca, there's a career section. All right? And if you're interested in getting involved in the music industry, you can go to fyimusicnews.ca and check out that area and see if there's a job that might be good for you. And then you apply, and then you have an interview, and then maybe you get the job. Maybe you would secure the job. Hey, there's 5 questions with Coleman Hill. How about that? And Jan Arden, inducted into the 2017 Canadian Music Industry Hall of Fame. She's got a few words to say about that. And... all sorts of features this month. I mean, almost too many to mention. I've mentioned a few. Hey, Sarah McLachlan has a Jolly Jolly Christmas album coming out. Again, just a wealth of information at fyimusicnews.ca. A journal about Canada's music industry. And don't forget about It's Your Shot, a chance to win Sharon $50,000 in prizes.
May I just tantalize you with the first course of our Friars Club dinner? Organic baby greens, strawberries, red peppers, toasted almonds, grape tomato, and garlic herb vinaigrette. Tell me you just didn't get a little boner right there. Come on. ART Catering. It'll be tough to exclude. I don't even know how. What will our mechanism be for invitations? One doesn't know.
It's got to be a draw. Yep. I said, yes, it's got to be.
Or well, it doesn't got to be.
Or feelings will be hurt.
Well, maybe we have them write an essay.
You can't prioritize.
Maybe we make it into an essay writing contest where, you know, you write a paragraph about why you believe you should be included into Humble and Fred's Friars Club.
And it's part of a 6-page application that has to list your work history and
one thing I know.
That's what you do to at bingo for a door prize.
One thing I know, you can't cherry pick or people are going to be pissed. So it's got to be completely democratic.
Well, yes, based on an essay.
Whatever.
No, I just like the idea of them all having to write a paragraph of why I should be included into Hubble and Fred's Friars Club dinner party.
There's some content. Why don't we do that? We'll read them on the air. Figure it out.
I just did figure it out.
No, I don't think you meant about the part of bringing it on the air.
Really? Oh, you thought? No. No. So you thought I brought up an essay writing contest and without we would never
taking,
read.
Without taking it to the next level. Which would be to have a contest, we would read them on air.
Fine, okay. You know what? I'm going to go along with you.
I'm being a cock. I mean, you know.
Oh, we can't rerun this conversation.
I'm being a PD.
I'm going along with your bit. Yeah, I never thought through. I thought we just have an essay writing contest, and I would just read it to myself quietly. Good thing you're here.
On the shitter.
Hey, let me tell you, it's a good thing that the retirement Sherpa... Tim Niblets, who is going to reveal tomorrow the brand new Sherpa Humble and Fred coffee mugs. It's like a real show. Let me tell you something. If you're not in retirement already, you're on the way there. We all are. If you're already retired, you probably have more moving parts and less time to recover from mistakes. The other day, we played golf with Tracy Keats, who was one of Tim Niblets' clients. And you know what was really cool is that she became a client of Tim Niblets' because of our program.
Really?
Yeah.
Like she heard Sherpa's advice.
She heard the Sherpa on the show.
Yes.
And she was, like a lot of people, pretty impressed with the way Tim conducts his business. Not only is he a nice guy, but he's the kind of guy you want as an advocate for you and your finances. I'm sorry. Did you want to Did you want to help me take this to the next level?
No, and I'm sure... Tracy has some cake, no doubt about that. I saw her roll out of there in a Audi SUV. Ooh. Those things, you know what? That ain't no Kia Sorento. Just so you know.
Well, no matter what you drive, no matter what you are doing, I'm sure the retirement Sherpa, Tim Niblett, can help you. Set goals, have a plan, expect change, reviewing, and so much more. Tim will be on the program tomorrow. You can get him any number of ways, but he'd love to consult with you. At least give him a shot. Tim.Niblett@RaymondJames.ca. So anyways, yeah, I think it would be funny if we had an essay writing contest.
Why I believe I should be included into the Friars Club.
The problem is with that, too, you've already invited some people.
No, I haven't. I threw an idea out into the atmosphere. I said, hey, the type of people that would be there.
They sat around the table last week and you said, hey, guys, what do you think about this? And
yeah, we have a contest.
Oh, okay. But you did invite them personally, face-to-face.
I mean, de-inviting.
Okay. All right.
But I don't
Not
know.
Not to nitpick.
Well, fuck, yeah. Waiter. Again, that was a detail I could have done without. I did invite them, right?
Yes.
Yeah, fuck. Well, I'm now not de-inviting. I'm saying now there's a contest.
Right. Yes. There's eligibility requirements. You know
what? And we'll fix it like the American election.
Yeah. We'll rig it. So, you ready? Are you ready?
For what?
For this fucking segment? Oh, you know what? We're going to have to get Emily Muse on here in a couple minutes' time.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Does she have this number? I hope she has this number because we're somewhere else. We're at the studios of Sirius XM. It's a serious place.
It is. It is very serious.
Yes.
You know, Howard and I come from an era when we first get into radio. You'd walk into a radio station, people would be bouncing off the walls. People didn't want to leave at the end of the day because it was so much fun. Now, not so much. Mm-hmm. What?
No, I'm just reading an email from somebody that works with us.
What?
No, just funny. People are funny.
Who
yeah, you're right. People
would
have been.
1, 2, 3. I'm sorry.
Well, we have a staff of people that work with us.
Okay.
You don't know all the people that work with us?
I'm not sure.
One of the people that works with us, he's a salesperson.
Right.
And he is very thorough.
Yes.
And so he says to me in this email, hey, I drove by the location, north side of Queensway, just east of Islington. Is it in a row of townhouse units on main floor, correct?
Yes.
You mean where it says 956?
Yeah.
Is there a passcode to get into the unit? Please reconfirm so I can be sure of dropping by tomorrow morning during the 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. show segment.
Oh, fuck. Is that our buddy?
That's our buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, that's man. You have no idea how many times a day he fucking emails me stuff just like this. It's a... Hey, very appreciative.
Yeah.
But it's what I have to deal with is being sales manager.
Fuck.
Is that the correct location? Yes, it is.
Well, you scared me there because when you first talking about it, I thought it was some kind of bad news.
No, no. I just was looking at it. It seemed to make me laugh. It's funny.
Okay.
So, yes, what were you saying about radio stations? They would have been busy. They would have been hopping. Not here. Here, everyone's got their head down doing work.
Because we've been here during... No, it's fine. It's a, you know, it's a beautiful environment. The exposed brick, and it's like an old warehouse. You know, we've described it before. It's a lovely environment. It's just, yeah, the atmosphere of radio station. And not just this one. I mean, other ones we've been in over the past couple of years, the atmosphere is just different now.
Yeah, it's almost like our little group.
It's very corporate.
We've preserved an old-time atmosphere of fun and goofing around, and all the everyone who works with us sort of has a goofy spin on things. And we got a guy over here, Skype-loving some chick in Cambodia. We got a... You're feeding cashews to a diuretic animal. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what's going on.
But you remember... I just remember, even at Young and Dundas on the 16th floor there, I mean... During the show, after the show, running around the halls like children. It was fun. It just was fun. The general manager had an open door policy. You could just walk in and sit down and flop in a chair and shoot the shit with them. And, yeah.
Hey, Phil, would you mind coming over here and just keeping an eye on this phone? Because it's not in a spot that I can readily make myself available. My Amanda Barker's here, my love of loves.
Hello.
Hello, my loves.
I was outside in the rain.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Help.
Were you out there for a while?
A little bit, yeah. Oh,
someone left the producer out in the rain.
Do you want an apple?
I can't. I have veneers.
Oh, right.
They pop out. Yeah.
This picture of Madonna, she's still very sexy.
Still smoking.
I don't know how old she is, but I don't.
90.
She's 90.
Looks
That's
great.
Really funny.
58.
Yeah.
Is she really 58?
And still gives a good blowjob, apparently.
Yes. I'm bragging about it. If you vote democratically.
Well, whatever age she is, she was at an Amy Schumer concert, and she was telling Republican supporters,
if you vote for Hillary Clinton, I'll give you a
blowjob.
She'll
blow you, and she'll swallow.
And she swallows. She's good at it. She eye contact. Yeah.
Hey, for the cause. Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to find, should I play this? If I hit play now, what will happen?
At 30-second mark, she starts to talk.
Okay, well then let me just...
Okay.
See him.
Okay, so she starts to talk about the
blowjob. Go about 28, 29 and
okay, here we go,
Before I introduce this genius of comedy, if you vote for Hillary Clinton, I will give you a blowjob. Okay?
Come on, Republicans. That's a great offer. Madonna will blow you on the penis. Madonna will blow your penis. She'll huff and puff.
That's quite the offer when you think, you know, that could be hundreds of thousands.
I've could seen be some, a million.
Getting the
I've
man
seen some
boat.
Videos.
She'd have to have her stomach pumped.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She didn't
out
say
her
she'd
nose.
Swallow.
Yes, yeah, she did.
Yes, she did. Oh, goes she on did. To say she'll swallow. Yeah.
Play the whole thing. Keep going.
I'm not a douche and I'm not a tool. I take my time. I have a lot of eye contact. Yeah. And I do swallow.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you, Madonna.
Good for voters.
That was one of those sort of urban myth or stories you heard. Like, you know, a girl was at the party, she blew so many guys, she had to have her stomach pumped. I bet you that never happened.
Well, the other urban myth, this was before there was the internet, was the sort of urban legend was that Rod Stewart blew all the guys in his band and had to have his stomach pumped.
Oh, really? I haven't heard that one.
You never heard? That was like a...
Which is, you know what? I'm willing to bet that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard it did.
No.
I did.
No, that he actually had to have a stomach
I know.
Pump. Like, I mean, how much schmorp would you have to swallow for that to have to happen?
I'm telling you, if you Google Rod Stewart,
all right,
stomach pumped, let me all do right. this, stomach pumped, I don't know, jizz.
That's like the...
One Zed or two.
That's like the Richard Gere gerbil story.
This is from Gawker. Mm-hmm. At last, Rod Stewart breaks his silence on getting his semen-filled stomach pumped. For decades, it says, Rod Stewart's name has been synonymous with ingesting quarts of cum. And it goes on to say...
Quarts.
That's what it said.
How many people would you have to blow to get quarts of
cum? A lot.
Cum?
It's like a tablespoon each time.
Yeah.
Anyway, it goes on to talk about this urban legend, this urban myth that I thought, mm-hmm. you know. Anyway.
It's just funny how that stuff starts. And then it's just so nasty and out there that people just love it, right? And they want it to be true. So then it just perpetuates.
Yeah, according to Snopes' page on this rumor, apparently mm-hmm. it has been attributed to several artists prone to wild hair and or putting dicks in their mouths, mm-hmm. including Elton John, David Bowie, Mick Jagger, Andy Warhol, Jeff Beck, John Bon Jovi, and so on. But I'm saying it's a rumor.
Right.
That's been attributed to all of these people.
No, which is fine, and they can suck all the dick they want. But the point is, there's no way you could ingest so much cum that your stomach would have to be pumped. It's just, I mean, really. The only way maybe your gag reflex would be puke.
Or, exactly. I mean, all I know is if I eat too much tzatziki.
Right? Very similar.
I get very...
It repeats. Yeah. It repeats on you. Cum repeats on you.
Yeah, it's like... You burp a little bit. You go, geez, what have I eaten? Oh, there we go.
Speaking of which.
I go there. Hi, Emily. What did I do right? Did I do that? Hi, Emily.
Good morning.
We're at a different location, so I'm not 100% sure. Can you hear us?
I can.
Wow. Emily Muse is here. Before we start our when are we doing the panel of women? Is that what we call this segment?
We're pretending it is.
Well, before we start that, let's just take a second, if we can, Emily, and talk about our very good friends at Pizza Pizza. Because, you know, it was a big deal. Pizza Pizza, a longtime sponsor of the Toronto Blue Jays and their play. And that came to an end yesterday. We can talk about that later if you want. But first, let's talk about the amazing world of Pizza Pizza.
It's just so disappointing, the Blue Jay thing. But hey, can't win them all, as my wife said. Comes up with all those little anecdotes. Hey, slices for smiles. It's slices for smiles at Pizza Pizza. Drop in for a 10-inch half pizza with a pepperoni smile for just $2.99. And Pizza Pizza will donate a portion of proceeds to Children's Miracle Network all day, every day at Pizza Pizza. Pretty cool.
I was just saying to Barker.
Slices for smiles.
Emily, we left Barker outside in the rain. And then she just made this little motion like, I was under her breath. I said, oh, you're like Matilda.
Yes, that was me.
Matilda. A couple months ago, Barker said to me, Howard, we need to have some grown-up invoices.
That's true.
And I said, why? The stuff that I send to our clients that I've done with crayon isn't professional enough for you, Missy? And she said, nay. And ever since then, she said, no, you idiot. Get FreshBooks.com. I did. And now we're a client. They're a client. Everywhere a client.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, I don't know what you're using for your business, Emily Muse, but it should be FreshBooks Cloud Accounting. Yesterday, I was doing some invoicing. Here's what I learned yesterday, Amanda. You'd be so proud of me.
Tell me.
I learned how to do recurring invoicing. I'm going to get a fucking pocket protector.
So explain to me. You mean that it automatically goes out? You don't have to do anything to it?
That's right, sister.
Oh, my God. You're going to show me.
I'm going to tell you right now. Because every month I sort of sit down and I do the invoicing and send little notes. Mm. And then I saw this little toggle that said, reoccurring invoice. And so now all our clients, like your clients can be, are invoiced every month, and you can determine the length of time the invoice repeats and so on. Anyway, I'm going to tell you, even for an idiot like me, it works so simply and so easily. When they say it's ridiculously easy to use, they're telling you the truth. FreshBooks.com/HumbleAndFred. 30-day free trial. Do it.
They're coming to the party tomorrow.
Are they really? Now,
you've
got to make sure that you remember to do this. Howard, this is Rob.
Yes.
Because I won't remember.
Yes. Okay. We'll talk scheduling and things.
Pause. Separated from client. Tomorrow, We're going to have a room full of people. Somebody's going to have a dump. So how are we going to decide? Who's going to have a fresh dump?
Well, Emily, in our new place, no one has yet. It's still a virgin bowl.
That's
not been a stool.
Not
this
one?
This is it.
The only stool in that bathroom is the squatty potty. Ain't no potty like a squatty potty.
I might come early and do it.
Well, funny you said that. Because Fred thinks like you should be that. We would like you.
Oh, really?
To take the first dump in our bathroom.
Really? And on the, can you time one, though? Like
yeah, I can boat up on my fiber tonight.
And you can time one.
Yeah, yeah.
No, do you want me to? I was going to go to get a nice can of Febreze. Do you want something like that there?
It's up to you. All right. That's your call. What do you need to smell?
But it's not just, she won't be the only one ever to shit in there. You might want to get a nice can of Febreze just in general.
Yeah,
maybe. But make sure I have it before her.
Maybe matches.
She might be, okay, she might be embarrassed.
I'm more of a matches girl than a Febreze.
Yeah, that's sulfur.
Yeah. Burn it up.
Well, and maybe that's not the best place to light a match since it's right next to my furnace.
Let's find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a wall separating.
Emily Muse from Muse Massage Spa. What a wondrous and amazing time to be the owner of a rub and tug. 2016.
Time to be alive.
What's that, love?
Said it's a good time to be alive.
It's a great time. And full disclosure, I'm sending a friend of mine. I'm not saying who, Fred, but I'm sending a friend of mine for a visit to Muse today. I stand behind our clients. We use our clients. I stop at Pizza Pizza, and I'm sending a friend in need to Muse Massage Spa today.
That's right.
Do I know this person?
No, you do not.
Oh, okay.
Slices for smiles.
Hey, I'll give you gashes for cash.
That was good.
See what I did there? Oh, I took the slices, but I made them. Do you see what I do? Oh, I'm sorry. It's not tenor. Fucking, I hardly know her. We're very excited. Emily and I have chosen the person, and this gentleman will be well taken care of today.
Great.
And what a wondrous
service.
Give
us a profile.
Profile of whom?
The person going.
It doesn't matter who it is.
What? No, I didn't ask for their name. I said
he's
profile.
He's a friend in need.
He's a friend in need. I'd rather not
age,
say.
Age 50 to 60, 40
that,
to 50.
Yes, in that
50
age
to
group,
60.
50 to 60.
Overweight?
No.
Caucasian?
Yes.
Okay.
In good shape?
Decent.
Has hair?
Yes.
Oh.
Connected through golf?
Maybe.
Amanda's like,
Well, that narrows it down in that age bracket.
Ever been...
reputed to have a big hammer?
I don't know anything about his dimensions.
I thought maybe if it's connected to golf, locker room, what have you, maybe during in the shower, that's all.
No, I don't know anything about the hammer.
It's your 14-year-old godson.
That's my him sending Colton there.
Oh, wouldn't you love to do that?
It'd be so good.
Maybe not at 14, but like 17 or 18.
You'd be the best.
I mean, it wasn't creepy.
Yeah, you'd be the best godfather ever. Yeah. That's your birthday.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was 14, I would have been able to handle that.
Yeah?
Sure. Nowadays, I'm not sure the kids would.
Oh, well, yeah? Yeah, these kids didn't know.
Honestly, when I was Colton's age, I'd had my thing touched. Not sure he has.
Well, you know, when he comes in for take your grade 9 to work day.
Yeah, well, I'll ask him.
So, Colton, let me ask about what's going on in grade 9. Have you had your thing touched yet? Because Uncle Freddy at 14... Fuck,
well, you had to.
By 14, I had it in the catcher's mitt.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Yeah,
isn't it funny? Because you would think as time went on, that part would become younger, but I don't know.
It's not, yeah.
It's just bizarre.
Emily, how old were you when you first were invaded penally? When you were... Oh, by the way, speaking of guests tomorrow, Emily Muse on site in person. Bitches! Yeah. Yeah, right there on the Queensway.
Yep.
I'm really excited to see you in person. Wow. I haven't seen you for a while.
I know. We have some hugging to do.
Yes, we do indeed. I listen, both Freddie and I, since I think the last time you saw us in person, well, me particularly, I've lost a lot of weight.
Well, don't go getting too small.
It's been that long since you've seen her?
Yeah, I haven't seen her this whole year, I don't think.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, holy fuck.
Music hasn't been there in a while, but... So I just want to say it's very. I always love dealing with Emily because she's professional, and she is she's appropriate, and she's a sweet fucker. I like her a lot, man.
She's got the Phil giggles.
I love it. Yeah. I do.
And I don't know what else I want to say except there's a nice visit going on today, and believe me, you're doing good work at MuseMassageSpa.com.
So with this, we try.
This person, and again, not without giving away too much, but it's sort of neat to know how these things transpire. Mm-hmm. This person come up to you and probably listened to the show and said, hey, this Muse Spa, have you been there? And then you said whatever. And they said, do you think I should go? Is that sort of the way it came down?
And then you, in a manner of speaking, I was like, I became aware of a situation. I said, hey, I've got a solution for you.
There you go. And,
so this was a guy that's frustrated at the home?
I don't know. Maybe that person doesn't.
Am I probing too much?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, just a touch.
All right. Because he could be listening to hear this.
Well, you never know who's listening to this fantastic show that we do on SiriusXM.
Because usually that's where it comes from, right?
Yeah.
A man 50 to 60 is frustrated at home, needs an outlet. Yeah.
Well, what would you say the profile of your customers are?
I'd say the majority are in that predicament, not necessarily that age range, but definitely in that predicament. It's surprising the amount of clients I talk to on the regular that have gone years without physical affection, like multiple years at a time.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing that develops in marriages and long-time relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a reasonable, I don't even know what they call that, like, sort of a deterioration of physical, you know, lust and all that stuff. But sometimes it's also a deterioration in relationships. And, you know, you guys might be able to speak to this, of affection. And sometimes what men and women want isn't just to, you know, do this intercourse. They just want some affection. And sometimes in marriages, that also starts to dissipate. Where, you know, one of the secrets to Fred's long marriage, I believe, and I'm being serious, is that there's lots of affection. I described this scene the other day where you and your wife were putting up a picture, and I could tell everything. If I didn't know you, I could know everything about your marriage just from that snapshot of you guys putting up pictures. I mean, that's sincerely.
No, that's very sweet. And you want to know something? Funny how these... I have SiriusXM in the kitchen. That little portable unit they gave me. And Delise is very busy some morning. She got up a little early that day. She put it on and just heard that segment.
The segment where I talked about that?
That's right. She said that was very sweet.
Aww.
Well, I knew Howard is all kinds of fucking sweet.
You know, old Howard would have said that.
Yeah,
as well.
Old Howard might have said that.
Because old Howard had a mixture of prick and nice. Yeah. Now the new Howard is all nice. Right? No, that's
what
true.
You need like 10% prick.
Yeah. Oh, I've still got that.
Yeah. What, you believe me.
Let's not pretend we don't know me. Fuck 10%. Mm-hmm. We're still in the high 30s.
Mm-hmm.
On a long day, without my medication, old Howard comes out a lot more than you want to see him.
But now, when it comes to actual thing, he's about 10% prick. Phil's about 3% prick. I'm about 25% prick.
Mm-hmm. No, you're fucking 8% prick. You're 40% balls. Fuck, man. That bulge in your pants is all beanbag chair.
Big, I've seen it. Big weathered sack.
Honestly. Looks like the bottom of a kangaroo. It's all fucking...
I've never seen the bottom of a kangaroo.
I just thought of the bottom of a kangaroo. That? Well, it's all calloused and fucking... It's been running. It's jumping in the desert and it gets scraped the bottom. And that's what your fucking bag looks like.
You know what? You're right.
Your marsupial dick.
No, it's his dick. It comes fucking, out. His dick's fine. Looks like a fucking.
His dick is lost.
Looks like a core.
His dick is lost in his bag. Come on.
It just comes out for tourists.
His dick's like a Where's Waldo in his bag. Big, it's like, where's the fucking big like mushroom? Fucking,
you know, you have to search for the bastard.
Anyway, but seriously, I don't know how this. I was trying to be sincere, but I see that there's lots of affection in your marriage, and I would soon. I don't know. You and the hand model you're married to, but it seems to me that you are an affectionate person, and
there's
affection in your marriage.
Lots
I would
of
hope.
Affection. Yeah, it's interesting because you've talked a lot about marrying your best friend and how you just kind of become friends, which is interesting. an interesting concept to me because in the last 10 to 15 years, you want me to pull back?
No, no, you're just a little bit. Yeah.
Last 10 to 15 years, every wedding vow is, you know, you're my best friend. And sometimes I wonder, I don't know, do you need another friend? I got a lot of fucking friends. Like, you're my best friend that I fuck on the regular. I don't know. You know what I mean? I think a lot about that. My spare time.
I'm listening because I you're right. I've been to a bunch of weddings in the last couple of summers, and it comes up all the time. Well, I feel like I'm marrying my best friend. Well, my best friend's Dan Duran. I'm not fucking marrying him.
There you go.
One of my dear friends is Fred Patterson.
That's just one of those superficial things that's said because you think you're supposed to say
Emily,
it.
You're in a relationship now, I think, or not?
No.
Okay, you're out. That's done. Are we in between right now? Or is this one of those magic opportunities where you and I should just do it?
I've been single for a while.
What the fuck,
sister? There's your window.
God damn, woman. And you're getting in the right time. It's winter girlfriend season.
Yeah, it's the season.
What's that, love?
Cuffing season. Yeah.
Oh.
Cuffing means masturbation.
Oh.
And what do you think it means, Em?
It means locking a woman down.
Oh, okay. Well, we could combine those two things. We could masturbate and lock.
And hibernate for the winter.
Yeah, yeah. Cuffing. I like that.
Locking a woman down, isn't that...
hot?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you mean securing a relationship or literally locking her down and having her way?
Whatever you want.
What's that, Emily?
I love Amanda.
Oh, I love you too. I can't wait to see you.
Well, listen, kids. I want to say that there is, you know, like... We do stand behind our clients, and I'm happy to have somebody in my life like Emily that I can make these arrangements. And by the way, that part of that arrangement was sent to you this morning, okay?
I got it.
Yeah, when is your part of that arrangement happening?
It's on its way.
It fucking better be, or Daddy's going to be...
You're a morning person.
You're a morning Daddy. Person. I'll come over there. Listen, sister, thanks very much for your help, okay?
I will see you guys bright and early.
Honestly,
tomorrow.
I can't wait, and it's been too long. And also, Emily is bringing one of her attendants, which will be cool.
No way.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, don't you kids worry about it? It's all been arranged.
Oh my god, there's so much happening tomorrow.
Oh no, it's going to be ridiculous.
Insane.
There is.
Yeah, what's the fire code in this place? Like,
well, it's fine.
Well, we're gonna. The problem is, it's fine. That's our fire code. It's fine.
No. It's fine because. People can, depending on the weather, even mingle out front a bit. Which guys will if people smoke and stuff like that. It'll be fine.
Well, let's hope we get a lot of smokers then because it's going to be jammed in there. okay, Musi, we'll see you in the morning. And thanks again for today.
No problem, guys. Enjoy.
Okay, sweet girl.
See you tomorrow. Bye.
Tomorrow, we're going to look at some shower activity during the morning hours.
Would you say the two-level... area of the new place would be somewhat equal to the one level area of the last place.
More so.
What?
More so.
More space now?
Microphone.
Well, I'm just saying. So we're going to be fine because it just always works out. We've always had a nice.
Well, we were worried about filling the last studio, but you know, it's not that turnout was low, but you know, we worked out pretty well.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So. Between people mingling downstairs and seeing what that's about and upstairs. And
well, as long as we get those wireless speakers set up downstairs, that's fine.
And who knows? We could even use the garage.
Garage!
If it was raining, that's all.
You could broadcast from here and then just have everybody.
No!
Yeah, I mean,
Howard, I'm going to be there today to help.
We got a lot of cleaning.
We can work it out.
Uh-oh.
We can work it out.
Old Howard.
Just new Howard's thinking out loud. Okay. Old Howard be like, fuck that shit. Fuck everybody, and they can just stand outside. No, I've been saying that we need to straighten up that garage. It's been filled with equipment and stuff that we're not using for the station or the studio. We'll figure it out. I'm not worried at all. And I'm looking forward to having everybody there. You know, the last thing about this person that I'm helping out today, the weird thing is, so I arranged it with Emily yesterday, and she suggested an attendant. And just so happens, as coincidence would have it, it's an attendant that I'm familiar with. So, but here's the thing. I didn't tell that to the person that I arranged this for.
Share
which
these.
Is good.
That's Barker, good. You get it so quick, right? Because I was thinking, well, I don't want to say to him,
right.
Oh, I've also...
Sloppy Glassman second.
I don't know why, because it's like, it's not like she's also done that to another 150.
But you don't have to know that. Silos.
Yes, exactly.
Silos. Just put your brain in a funnel.
Exactly. What's it called? Sonos?
Silos.
Silos, exactly.
In the business world, they call it silos. Silo thinking. So just put yourself in a silo.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I just thought that'd be funny because I didn't be like, oh, yeah, you know, well, I'm familiar with her
Yeah,
work.
She go to this one because I had her and she was great.
Yeah.
Get her to do the butterfly flick. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What?
I don't fucking really don't know what you're saying half the time. Get her to do the butterfly flick on your dink. All right.
Never heard of the butterfly flick?
Oh, of course I have.
Jesus Christ, yes. Howard. Where have you been? That's,
yeah, well, I'm...
You haven't been to Toronto long enough.
No, I know. Mm-hmm. Please, I have so much to learn from you. Okay, let's come back and talk about the big story of the day. The Blue Jays, the Leafs lose, and last night it was the episode. I'm so sad. I got to tell you, it's funny. We talked about this yesterday morning. I want to talk about the last thing I saw on Fox last night was what Shepard Smith said, and he said the exact same thing as we did yesterday morning. It's Humble and Fred Radio on Sirius XM.
Inside me and twist it all around. I want love to grab my fingers gently, slam them in a doorway, put my face into the ground.
Humble and Fred Radio around North America on Sirius XM. Great to be part of this wonderful company here in Canada and in the U.S. HumbleAndFredRadio.com, the award-winning podcast. Speaking of awards, Barks, when did we find out how much we lost the Canadian Comedy Awards by?
That came out like last week, 2 weeks ago.
Wait a second.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
What, you didn't want to break the news to us that we lost? Who do we lose to this year?
You know, I don't know. I can look.
Yeah, can you look, yeah, please?
Will do.
Yeah, where do I look?
They probably did their last podcast 2 months ago.
It came, well, but to be fair, this year it was all about fans voting. So if we don't, if you know, it's up to our people.
Canadian Comedy Awards. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are Canadian Comedy Awards? What would that be under? Festival?
.org. I'm looking right now.
.org.
All right. So here we go. Best audio show. The Real Good Show. Retail Nightmares, Stop Podcasting Yourself, Target and Torrens.
Target and Torrens. Yeah,
and
well,
that
makes
sense. The
Trailer
Park Boys podcast.
The Trailer Park Boys podcast? Yeah. They have one?
I guess.
All of them won, or those were just the nominees?
These are the nominees. We didn't make it even
we
into
didn't make
the,
it to, oh, we, so they
we
haven't,
were in the prelim.
We didn't make it to the nominees this year.
Yeah, because fans voted for that.
Oh,
and then,
I see. So last year we got to the nominee thing,
you
I
got
think.
It.
Yeah,
you got
and
it.
And this year not so much.
Yeah, that's all right. They're going through some changes themselves.
Yeah, we're all going through some changes.
We're all transitioning. In this life.
But congratulations to our friend Jeremy Taggart of Taggart and Torrens.
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 Torrens. I want to congratulate Taggart and Torrens.
Target and
Bit Torrens. And everyone else, congratulations. You know, I guess we can't even say it's just good to get nominated. We don't know. Is it good to get nominated, people?
Don't know.
We don't know. If you haven't already, taken a spin on the crowdfunding the shitter campaign, we want to remind you. We talked about it earlier, but you know what? It's not too late. We're getting some great. What would you call it, Fred? Like name plaques of some kind.
Yes. They're really nice. Chris Emanuel, our buddy, got us a good deal on them, and they're going to be very fancy. And you'll be very proud if you contribute and have your name engraved. In fact, I think it's like a laser engraving that they do, and then have it affixed to the wall outside the shitter. You're going to be very proud. Yes, you are.
Yeah, and I think it's going to, you know, you're going to, I think if nothing else about tomorrow, you'll be, I think, excited for us, and I think happy with the way it all looks. I mean, Freddie and I were putting up a couple more pictures yesterday, but we've left the main studio area very clean and sharp looking. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the same vibe as her other studio. It's but the two floors are different. So the studio level, we'll call it, is very clean, very studio-like, very professional looking.
Not cluttered.
Not cluttered.
Okay.
When you go downstairs into the office, it's more of the old vibe. It's more of like a rec room. There's posters on the wall. There's, you know, it just feels warm down there as well. Mm-hmm. But the studio level is sharp. And I think you're going to be excited to see it. We'll put lots of pictures up tomorrow on Facebook.
Should we sage it? Do you want to do any of that stuff?
I don't even know what that means.
Sage it. No, sage,
what's sage it?
You take a sage, some white sage. And
yes.
I got some at
what's
home.
Bring some sage.
Yeah,
for what?
Sage the place.
To clear the energy.
Yeah, we need to clear the energy.
Yeah, that's right. I'm right into that stuff.
Yeah, I know.
I used to have, I had a little sage going on.
Can't hurt.
Mainly to cover the smell of my medicine.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's what we'll get in the bathroom.
Wait a minute. So you put what do you do with the
sage? You burn it and you walk around with some smoke.
And you get a little clump of sage.
And it's not
dry.
For the fragrance, it's for the energy and the vibe?
Apparently.
It cleans the energy.
Yeah.
And yesterday, my wife had gone out and bought some appointments for the shitter, a plunger. I said, a plunger? Why would you need a plunger? And she said, well, you never known. It's true. And I thought, yeah. Although that washroom, as Jim Carr said, it's... You know what it's like? When you flush that toilet, it's like being on an airplane.
Oh,
you know,
really? Goes, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to see
scary,
my
scary, actually.
And then, so what happens is there's a flush sound that's mm-hmm. normal, and then once it gets flushed into the basin, then the maceration process begins.
But that,
and
flush, that flush is pretty strong, too.
A very strong flush.
Yeah.
But then there's a second noise, and that's the one that sounds like you're on a plane.
So yours is going to be the first turd to be macerated.
I'm going to work up. Squeeze it in all night long.
And then we got a toilet brush.
Yeah. That's good for the shit stains that you
waste
leave.
Paper basket.
Okay.
Shit stains on the wall by
and the
P.
lovely
Knightley.
Thing on the wall that you can have the paper towel to dry your hands with.
See, that's great. Right. Mm-hmm. That's really great.
And you know what? If we had a little bit more money, crowdfunders, it would have been cool to put like an electric fan, like one of those hand washing things of fans, you know. Maybe someone will donate a Dyson. Those ones where you stick your hands out. Those are amazing.
Those are amazing.
I would go down there and put my wiener in there.
Just
for
sucks
fun.
The water out.
I bet you would.
I would. After medicine time.
We go live to the Squatty Potty Shitter. And Howard, Howard, how's it going in there? Oh, not bad. I'm just on a stool now, dropping my dick into my Dyson.
Are you talking about the Humble and Fred storefront Squatty Potty Performance Zone with the five-hour energy green room next to the Squatty Potty bathroom? Next to the Mitsubishi storefront?
Mm-hmm.
Sign? All right. Yeah, the Sherpa back lot. Not to be confused with the Pizza satellite
kitchen.
Are we ever going to talk about the debate?
At some point, we should talk about the issues of the day.
Yes.
The show's almost
with
over.
With 20 minutes left.
The Jays lost. That was fun. I listened to and watched some of the game. And you know, I called Fred at one point. We were talking about something, and I said, I had the TV on at that point. I said, so-and-so just got a hit. He's like, I'm not watching. I'm like, what?
Mm.
Where are you? He was in his tiki
No, I was
zone.
Downstairs watching it, and then it was depressing, and I could see the way it was unfolding, and I thought, I'm not going to sit here and watch it and be pissed off, so I'm going to go up my backyard. It's a beautiful afternoon. Put it on the radio, and I'll enjoy the outdoors. So that's what I did. You know, there was a great twist, or not a great twist, an embarrassing twist, humiliating twist. Yesterday morning, before this game, I'm driving to work, and they're talking about this kid pitching for Cleveland who had only had one major league start. And then they play this clip of Jose Bautista.
Right.
Saying, well, it's all right. That kid will be shaking in his boots a lot more than we will. And I'm thinking, why did you say that? Because you know what sports is like. Don't bait
the other team.
So anyway, of course, this kid... Nine up, nine down, only gives up two hits through 12 batters, gets Bautista twice. Anyway, they end up losing. And this Bauer kid, what's his first name?
Trevor Bauer,
who was in a Twitter war with our buddy Ben.
Right.
So and it's been ongoing. You know, and you always want the last laugh. You know what the final tweet was from him yesterday? A pair of boots with a bottle of champagne in the boots. And it said, happy birthday. It was Jose Bautista's birthday yesterday.
Oh, God.
So, Like, he wins. Bang, slam dunk. Bautista says that, and this guy, he was aggravating to all Toronto fans. He gets the last chirp, the last tweet, the last whatever. And I'm just thinking, you know, if I'm John Gibbons or Blue Jay management, I'm thinking, Jose, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he did it.
And it was weird because he said it. And at that point, he said it yesterday or the day before the game. Yeah. 2 days ago, he was 1 for 33.
No, exactly.
Like if you're batting 450 in the postseason and you're on a roll, maybe mouth off. But you're 1 for 30 something.
And you know,
shut up.
And Howard, that stuff never turns out.
I know
it never turns out. On the right side.
And it's embarrassing to me because I fought with the Bautistas in Honduras. And when we were proud. We were a proud band of renegade vagabonds. And we fought in Honduras for better rights with the Bautistas. Fuck. I was a freedom fighter with the Bautistas looking to lower the T-shirt price at my Korean. Anyway. But it was too bad. But you don't look at it this way. As I often do, I look at the bright side and I think, well, you know, 2 years in a row, they get to the ALCS. That's 2 years in a row that we had meaningful baseball this late into October, because it was only 3 and 4 and 5 years ago that baseball was basically over at the All-Star break in Toronto. So good for us.
And then Mr. Dickhead looks at the other side. That's me. Other than, hey, we've been here 2 years in a row and we just ain't getting it done. Changes have to be made.
Well, Bautista's gone.
Probably.
Ish.
And one other thing I will say. Is that game is over and I feel heavy-hearted and it's like, oh, shit, they're out. It would have been a nice World Series. At least the Leafs have this team with these young players. It's cool. I start watching this game. In the first period, it's 4-0 for the Leafs. You know, one of the rookies scores and Nazem Kadri, who's been quiet, scores a couple of goals. 4-0. I start watching the debate. I grab my phone to see what the score is. It's 4-3. The debate ends. I put it on. Last minute of play. Winnipeg ties at 4-4. This is up after the Leafs are up 4-0. And then in overtime, they quickly win it, being they, Winnipeg. And I'm thinking, what a day for Toronto sport. Like, you know, I looked at my wife and I said, I'm so tired. I'm going to stop with the sports. I'm so tired of this. But anyway.
Well, listen.
Things could be worse.
They,
I know.
They could be worse. Yeah. But you'll always have this.
Puff the magic ball sack. No.
Oh, sorry.
Puff the magic ball sack.
You'll always have Puff the magic ball sack. Listen, there's a lot of Leaf fans and Jays fans that are upset, but they don't have
Puff the magic ball sack.
The magic.
No. Oh, sorry.
Puff the magic ball sack.
Oh, sorry.
It's like you're reading a story to me. You're like,
yeah. Listen, you're then, wrong.
But Papa, is it ball? It's ball sack, Howie.
No, Howard. No.
Anyway.
But it is. It's just too much.
So I would say for me, I watched a little bit of the Jays, and I was in the studio with our good friend, the great Jim Carr, and I had to do some stuff with Spencer. I dropped her off downtown. But for me, I was anticipating. Christ. All day. Anticipating.
Premature.
The debate last night. And I gotta say, opening remarks, if I may. Chris Wallace, a veteran broadcaster and moderator, he had by far the best performance by any of the moderators of the three debates, and I watched every second of all of them. Chris Wallace, his father, Mike Wallace, from 60 Minutes. Chris Wallace, a former NBC, you said?
Yeah.
Now on Fox News, has gotten into the Fox world and the fair and balanced bullshit. But I got to tell you.
Of which he pretty much was. Is. No, even on Fox, he's pretty moderate.
Yeah, no, for sure. Mm-hmm. But last night, for sure, he was fair and balanced.
Yes.
You can't complain, and neither can Trump, that it was one-sided or rigged. So I thought Chris Wallace, man, he kept a good tight ship there. You know, I don't want to get into who won the debate or who you think, but one thing you have to take away, or at least I did, let me say this, is that Donald Trump fellow is clinically fucking insane. Like, he's not just a bad candidate for president. There's something wrong with him. And it's not good. And but I will say this, he was trying to be presidential last night. And for the first 15 minutes, I think he pulled it off. And then he went off the rails like a crazed pygmy horse at a circus. Like, what the fuck's that horse doing? He started bucking and some of the children screamed. Somebody said on Facebook, I thought it was funny, this term I haven't heard since Moose Jaw. Well, there's no way you can say Trump kicked the or Hillary kicked the shit out of Donald Trump. Thoughts?
You can't say that again?
No, you, he said the way he put it. There's no doubt that Hillary kicked the shit out of Donald Trump.
The impression I get, he's met with his people. He knows he has no chance to win. And I think that's where he was coming from last night. And this whole thing about will you recognize or will you honor the decision of...
Yeah, we haven't had that clip.
No, I know. He's, you know what I mean? I just get the impression he's just fucking with everybody now. He knows it's lost.
Yeah.
And that all a lot of this stuff he's throwing out
there.
Okay,
wait a second. You get the impression he's just fucking with people now? Like this is a big... Like I would actually rather it would be that than the guy's just a fucking insane.
No, I think he knows he can't win now. And I think some of that comes from that.
You know,
like the clip you're going to play about you know, I'll keep you in suspense and all that. I mean, that's beyond insane. He's just...
Well, I don't want to... I disagree with you.
Well, okay.
I know.
Okay.
I agree that it would be cool if that was the case. But I think he's such a psychotic narcissist that he still believes he can win. And that's why he's saying those things. Let's hear the clip there, Kyle. In case you didn't hear it, one of the things that's been an issue is that Trump is making it seem like the elections, you know, he's saying it's rigged and this is rigged. But as she pointed out last night, whenever it goes bad for him, he thinks it's rigged. He's got a lifetime of thinking things are rigged against him.
He's like the Blue Jays at bat. It's always the umpire's fault. You notice that?
Well, yeah, but
it's true.
But it's not just this election. It's everything. It's the and even that thing about the apprentice, the celebrity apprentice is part of the presidential debate. It's insane.
More than once.
More than once. Anyway, here's the clip.
Loser or the winner, but that the loser concedes to the winner and that the country comes together in part for the good of the country. Are you saying you're not prepared now to commit to that principle?
What I'm saying is that I will tell you at the time. I'll keep you in suspense.
Well, okay? Chris, let me respond to that because that's horrifying.
Okay, and that's the clip everyone's going to play today. And here's the weird thing. Even the people at Fox were gobsmacked. Mm-hmm. Their jaw dropped. They had no explanation for that.
Early in the day, his campaign manager, his family, his daughters and sons said, of course we're going to recognize
it. Everyone said it except...
That's
Crazy
why
Dawn.
I think where it comes from, where he's like, is he just like, he's just, I don't
think it's in his nature, Fred, to give
up.
Well,
you know what? If it's not, then yeah, it's just,
like,
it's just so bizarre. I'm thinking, you know. What?
When I say I disagree, I don't disagree with you. No. I disagree with the notion that he's, I mean, because maybe a normal person would go, you know what? This thing's done. I'll just fuck around. But he doesn't believe that. Mm-hmm. You know, his behavior last night, again, the fact that she's trying to talk and he's going, wrong. It's so fucking infantile. Like, you know, I sometimes, when I've watched our parliament, I say to myself, wow, those men and women, don't they see themselves being so fucking, like,
childish? Yes.
But there's the president, potential president, going, wrong, liar. And then when he called her... when he said to her, you're a
nasty woman.
Such a nasty woman.
And the weird thing is, it was the first time, and it was such a clever little shot she gave him, on the heels of talking about him groping women and all that shit, when he said that, you're such a nasty woman. Like, every woman who watched that, I have to assume would think, you fucking asshole.
That's him, though. That's him being himself. At least he's showing his true colors, you know?
Can I say something here, too, though? And how he's really blowing it. And again, do I have to go through the whole thing? I want her to win, and I know he's an asshole and all that stuff. It was released. Here's how he blows it. It was released this week. They have video, audio proof that the Democrats sent people into Trump rallies to cause trouble. It's proof. It's there. They literally paid people. Now, there was a piece of... There was a tidbit. There was a something that he had that he could actually use to his benefit. Mm-hmm. And instead of concentrating on that and being a normal, decent person and going, this is something I really have on you, he fucking blows it with everything else.
Well, he tried to bring it up last night.
No, I did. And he didn't sort of such gets a, there and he, he... That's right.
You know, you ever heard that phrase, ham-handed? Mm-hmm. He does things in such a ham-handed way.
Right.
He doesn't have the he's not articulate enough...
Exactly.
...to bring that up as an argument. Because you're right. I thought the same thing. I thought, wow, there's
I saw that, too, and it is true. They did it. And a lot of that violence was created by the
some
other
of it
side.
Was, but not that, and that's not new. That you got to
But now they have the proof. It was there.
And that's a huge proof. Story. And that could be a very in a normal election. That's a very incriminating
and
story.
And he fucking blew it.
Well, he blew it because he's not big league. Oh, my God.
He made up words.
He said that three times last night.
Big league.
We're going to do it big league. And I mean, it sounds like you're looking at the guy who you wouldn't elect to be the fucking in charge of the social thing at your office.
But guys, it's all about window dressing and dressing it up. Because remember, George W. Bush was a fucking moron, too, but he had the right people and listened, and you know what I mean? And okay, maybe not at the same level as Donald Trump, but it can be done. You can take fucking people that aren't really ready.
For sure.
Sarah Palin. Yeah. Even Sarah Palin. Yeah.
Imagine we're having the discussion. Mm-hmm. We're having a discussion in 2016 that if we were all could go back to 20, oh, whatever, and we're actually saying, George Bush is better than this guy. Like, fuck.
That's amazing.
We're actually saying Sarah Palin and George Bush make this guy look, he's making them look brilliant.
You can put lipstick on a pig is what I'm saying, but he is so fucking gone that they can't even corral that.
But imagine, getting back to it, I think, I don't know where, maybe my father used to say that, somebody who is ham-handed, they don't have the dexterity, he doesn't have the verbal dexterity to weave that into a cohesive argument. Because what he said last night was, what about videos? Mike Dralley, they made in violence. I knew what he was talking about, but if you didn't, no one would fucking have a clue.
And here's another thing. One thing about last night, they actually did talk about some issues. But, you know, when it comes to temperament, again, that is very important.
Absolutely.
For a world leader. And when you see him on the stage doing that stuff, flying off the fucking handle, and probably flying in the face of what he's been told to do by his handlers, you got to think, maybe... Well, this ain't the guy for the job.
That's why that's my argument. After last night, you have to know he's got narcissistic, psychotic tendencies. I want to play this clip because this will show you. Think about all the fucking shit he said about her. Mm-hmm. You know, what she has done in three debates, because I've watched them all, she almost never engages him directly, although last night she had fucking enough.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that she waited so long. She'd had enough of being talked over and interrupted and being bullied. So she made a nice little thing here. She was talking about, you know, again, Trump hasn't paid taxes, blah, blah, blah. And here she says,
the wealthy, my Social Security payroll contribution will go up, as will Donald's, assuming he can't figure out how to get out of it. But what we want to do is to replenish the Social Security Trust Fund by making sure that...
So she made a little barb, a little joke. Oh, so, you know, Donald, assuming he doesn't get out of it, considering he's gotten out of paying federal taxes for 15 fucking years. Mm-hmm. And he can't let that go. Mm-hmm. The little childish fucker has to go, she's such a nasty woman. Considering what he has said to her, in front of her family, and in front of everybody, that's him. That comment is why he can't be president.
Imagine him saying that about a man, though. Such a nasty man. Like, it seems even more childish. It's because we accept his misogyny so wholeheartedly. We're like, oh yeah, that's his barb. Such a nasty woman. But can you imagine if he's like, you're such a nasty man. You're a bad boy.
At another point in that debate, he pulled up and he was going to say something to the same woman. Then he stopped and went, person. Because I think for that split second it went through his head, like, fuck it, I'm supposed to say person instead of woman. But he so wanted to.
Yeah.
But in that case, because he could have said that, she's such a nasty person. And when he says woman, just rubs the wrong
way. Well, and the fact is, it's a weird thing to say, but it was, to me, as soon as that happened, I was like, you got to be kidding. You can't even take that. And it was go back a little bit. As jabs or whatever you want to call them, chirps go, it was pretty innocent, not that harsh, and fairly clever, I thought. It was just a little bit of a callback to the fact that he hasn't paid taxes. And even last night, but you could have changed the laws. Is that your argument?
He's
blaming her for him not paying taxes.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fucked up.
You let me.
So go ahead, just listen.
Planish the Social Security Trust Fund.
Such a nasty one. No, go back just before that. Just bring it back, keep going.
Such a gift.
Oh, it's the best thing.
Like, and I know what's happened there.
Assuming he can't figure out how to get out of it. But what we want to do is to replenish the Social Security Trust Fund by making
sure. You know what he's... you know, this whole thing about the country doesn't trust Hillary and hold your nose to vote for her. So his handlers are probably saying, you know, Donald, you got to get it across that, you know, the country isn't totally in love with this woman. But that's the way he verbalizes it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just so fucking base and gutter rather than, having a valid argument on why maybe the country doesn't trust her. Because he's not capable of it.
He has five big words: disaster, tremendous. Bigly has been added to the lexicon.
Big league.
I think he had a flabbergasted was another one.
Really?
He's got like five
but
words.
Disaster. Everything's a disaster.
Tremendous
disaster.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And the funny thing is, and I'm going to say this, it's going to sound weird. There were a couple of moments last night where he made some sense. There were a couple points where I went, there were some things about. I think it was economically he made a couple of points that I thought were actually good points. And I'm saying that to be as fair and balanced as I can because I went, wow, that was, I'm sorry I don't remember it, but I remember thinking, yeah, you know what? That wasn't such a dumb thing.
But he doesn't have the ability to construct an argument. Even with this election being rigged, he makes no reference to 2002 and all that stuff that happened in Florida.
Yeah.
There's actually precedent for saying, you know.
Yes.
But he can't articulate that. He flies off into...
Well, that's the weird thing is he's got these surrogates, including Fox News, that have to explain him for... Because I heard that story today. Mm-hmm. It's not without precedent that there's been, you know, this hanging chads in Florida.
Right.
There's a million... What he could have said... Like, here we are. I'm barely informed, and I could have said, well, there are 1.5 million people registered to vote that are dead. Now, that's not her fault, but he could have made that point. Mm-hmm. There are 3 or 4 million people that are registered to vote in multiple states. That's not her fault, but there's a point he could have made.
No, he could be, you know, he could be clever about it instead of fucking stupid.
But he's not talking about, the difference is, he's not talking about electoral reform. He's talking about everyone hates me. And that's the difference.
Right.
Everyone's out to get me.
Because when you're a little kid, you go, you didn't get to be class president. Yeah, the election's rigged. You can't fucking say that. And I'll tell you what. I thought the tape was the final. That moment last night when he said, I will not recognize, basically. And now he's going to go on the campaign trail and then lie and explain. But that moment when he said to Chris Wallace, because everyone was fucking like, what? That's the moment. Because even people who are right-wing and whatever, conservative to the core, you can't mess with the electoral process.
And the point they kept making last night, there was probably millions of Trump supporters cheering last night when he said that he wouldn't recognize it or whatever the terminology is. Thought it's great. But what it did not do was increase that base or win anybody over.
Well, true, because we've said the only way he would have gotten elected is to get some of the people that are undecided or from the Democrat, and he's not getting any of those. Mm-hmm. But what's really dangerous about it is it's the message it sends to the rest of the world. It really is one of those things.
Because banana republics do that.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The leader, what's going to, and who knows what will happen in 3 weeks in terms of him recognizing or shaking her hand or conceding. Listen,
But one other thing I will quickly say, and again, I've said this before, she is so lucky she's running against him too, because there's been, you know, there's a video out there about her flip-flopping and all these kinds of issues and everything. She is so lucky she's up against Donald Trump. She really is.
I mean, I know you really say that, but almost any candidate you could run would have flip-flopping. I voted this way in 2002.
Fine. But yes, I'm saying it lucky. Is there with her.
But I want to say, though, that shouldn't take anything away from how qualified that woman is.
Let's hope not. Absolutely.
Well, I'm saying I think she's qualified.
It almost seems unfair that she has to run against such a shit candidate. Yeah. Like,
that's
like
true.
She's not going to win it fair and square. Like, you want her to run against a Mitt Romney or someone.
And that's what I'm saying. Because even against a legitimate candidate, she's lucky she's getting this gift because he's a fucking insane psychotic.
And there's lots of
But there is a lot. There's a case to be made, and I think she made it last night, that she's been in public service a long time.
That's right, and there's lots of ammunition against her because of that length
because
of service.
Because of that length. Yes. And Freddie, anyone that's been around this game as long as she has is going to have some stink on her. But at least she can point, as she did to her last night. I thought she won the debate when she said, on the night that we fucking were in the Situation Room monitoring the progress of taking down Osama bin Laden, he was hosting the Celebrity Apprentice.
Yep.
Bam! Mic drop! Peace!
That's her whole website takes you year by year of her 30-year career and shows you what he was doing that year and what she was doing that year on that day.
And again, yeah, she's got some stink on, but that's an argument that he
but
can't
But you also
win.
Realize if he was a normal, decent person, that shouldn't matter either. It's just because of where he's been.
Well, even a normal, decent person.
No, but I mean, say somebody outside of politics that was a good candidate. You know
well,
what
yeah,
I mean?
But, yeah, but it's a great argument to make if you're inside of politics.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, you can't deny that Mitsubishi Motors of Canada is the one-stop shop for all your winter tire warranty and Mitsubishi needs, Freddie P.
Yes, Howard, how about the, you know, I hate to bring this up, but winter's coming, and they have the no-charge winter tire package available at Mitsubishi. Up to $1,400 in extra value with the purchase of select new Mitsubishi. This tire includes tires, balancing, wheels, and mounting. And don't forget their spectacular 10-year, 160,000-kilometer warranty.
And don't forget that this country is held together by a lot of things. Our shared values and hockey and stuff. But, of course, it's also held together by Sleep Country Canada. Why would you buy a mattress anywhere else? Christine McGee just given the Order of Canada, deservedly so. All kinds of specials and all kinds of bits and bytes. Sleep Country, a proud sponsor of the Humble and Fred Show. Go to sleepcountry.ca. The flyer's there, and you can buy the Sealy Queen Set. It's a hot buy at $639. All right. I know we ran over. I'm sorry.
Did we?
Yeah, kind of. Okay, Phil. Start to make your noises.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Squatty Potty, FreshBooks, and our newest sponsor, Mitsubishi Motors of Canada. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, sectioned off in an otherwise quiet corner of Sirius XM Canada. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.
Yeah, I wish I could remember because I wrote down that Trump actually made a couple of points and I was like, yeah, that's...
Off the top, first 15 minutes, he was well, like, okay.
How do you help not, though? You know what I mean?
No, it's almost like what we were saying in that he had some good thoughts, but once his temperature goes up, he can no longer make... Like that whole thing about Mosul, he must have said Mosul 15 times and... A paragraph. It just shows you how inarticulate the man really is, and he was making a pretty decent point about it.
Yeah. And he's ill-equipped. I think he's briefed on this stuff, but he doesn't know the detail that Hillary knows.
Another dad
so
thing.
That's right. So when he references it, he can't go any deeper than right. just below the surface. So he finds himself repeating the same point because he doesn't have any more to give.
He's not very deep and he's not very wide. My father had another great phrase like that. You know, I'm sure you heard, like a bull in a china shop.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like him. He just goes madly forward. He knows Mosul was this kind of thing and he keeps blaming her for the vacuum. She created, you know, the fact he keeps repeating that she created ISIS. There might be a
germ. But there's an argument there.
Yeah, I was going to say there's an argument there. He just can't make it.
Right. That's
our point. That's we share right. that. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. That's why I say he's ham-handed. He can't fucking articulate even what we're articulating.
That's why when you say Mitt Romney, I find the comparison so interesting. Mitt Romney, that image compared to Barack Obama, didn't work. It was a loser. But I think Mitt Romney against Hillary Clinton... You have a
That's
major
a real
race.
Fight.
There's a fight.
It's a real fight.
And my only point is, it's timing is good for her because she does have some blemishes, and the long time that she's been, you're going to have blemishes. You know, Hillary was, you know, 8 years ago, bitterly disappointed she didn't get it. This time, everything's aligned pretty cool for her.
That's given true.
This, and you know what, Fred, though, I agree that... Mm-hmm. But what Amanda said too, echoing what I was trying to the point I was trying to make is it's almost too bad he's such a shitty candidate because
right. it'll be an asterisk.
It'll be almost exactly because I believe she's qualified. Yeah she's got stink. But you can't be doing this game as long as they have, the Underwoods have. You can't be in it as long as they have.
No, and I really think she's earned 4 years, and I think the fact that we're the United States, the world is going to have a woman as the most powerful person in the world. It's all grand. It's wonderful.
And but you're right. Some other candidate that was able to articulate the points against her better might be doing better.
And it might feel like a fair fight. Like one of the points that you were saying, I was trying to think of when was I kind of like, okay, that's an interesting point. When he talked about the wall and he kept saying, you voted for the wall. It's like, this is first I've heard of it. You voted for the wall? You know?
She did.
She sort of did.
And that's why it's like, so let's get into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And he blows it.
But he can't. That's a good point.
I mean, they have her on tape a few years ago talking about that problem and border security and building some kind of a structure. It wasn't a wall. She said fence.
But here's the thing.
So there you go. Yeah. So if he was just able to quote that, knowing that that was one of the questions.
But see, mm-hmm. she is able to articulate mm-hmm. her points because
she's a great politician.
She's a great politician.
Right.
And she comes off as a statesman.
Yeah.
You know, although somebody on
Stateswoman.
Statesperson.
Statesperson.
Somebody on Facebook, I love
States
them,
with a
said, why is it she always has to dress like she's on in Starfleet Command? She just looks like she's
a boss.
She's about to go onto the bridge of the Enterprise.
You know, there's another thing that I feel so sorry for women. You know, any guy gets up there and he puts on his fucking suit with the blue tie or red tie. Whoever, and, you know, it's just like nobody notices fuck all.
A poor woman
gets up there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. And a woman has more options, but the thing is, saying no matter what she chooses, she's going to be criticized.
If it's a suit, then why is she always in a suit? Yeah. If it's a dress. You know, yeah.
But back to what you were saying about the border and things like that. She is, she's got some, there are some things you could poke holes in. But on the other hand, there was something I was going to say that she did a masterful job of picking out I would say her strongest moments too is when she was talking about the tape and the abuse. Oh, I know what I want to say too. I'm sorry, I'm a little scattered. The fact that the Republican Party is distancing themselves from him is sending such a signal to the right wing base of that country. They're saying, and then of course what he does, Paul Ryan, he's a loser. This guy's a loser. It's rigged. It's rigged. Those are the things where somebody else with maybe a different temperament, and that's the thing. He's got no temperament for this gig.
The best moment, honestly, for me, there's so many great moments last night, but one of the best moments was when she talked about the Celebrity Apprentice and how it was rigged. He didn't get the Emmy, and he said, should've got it. He was the most likable, and that's him. Mm-hmm. And that's the world he should be living in.
And that's a gotta laugh.
Yeah.
Should've got it. And people laughed. I think they not laughed because it was a kind of a cute line, but also laughed like, you're fucking kidding me.
But that's him. That's as far as that should have ever gone. Was you bitching you don't have an Emmy?
You got Emmy. You just didn't win it 3 years in a row. Should have got it.
Yeah.
She's wrong. Build the wall. What about Alec Baldwin? He's tweeting Saturday Night Live.
Exactly. And saying that they're rigged. They're rigging the election against him.
The media.
You know, sorry. Pull back. There's so many good moments.
And the whole media thing, again, true. But why wouldn't it be? You know what I mean? If this was like a normal campaign and somebody was getting 80-20 against, it would be like, hey, this is fucked. Yeah. But what does he expect with what he's fucking throwing out there? Why wouldn't it be weighted that way?
I'll tell you something. In normal times, you know, CNN, MSNBC, the regular big threes and the CBCs and the UK and the BBC, they're definitely more liberal-leaning. But
they were rah-rah Obama, no doubt about it.
But in this election, I've listened to a lot of Fox in the last couple of months, even they are having a tough time.
Well, they can't ignore
explaining it. Shepard Smith, that's what I was going to say. Shepard Smith basically said, "Pardon me,
Chris Shepard, isn't it?
No, it's Shepard Smith.
Chris Shepard's the turd
comment.
Else.
Is that what you're talking about?
When Shepard Smith signed off last night, I like him.
Yeah,
and I've liked him for a while.
He's pretty moderate.
He's pretty moderate. Mm-hmm. And even when I have in the years past watched Fox television, he is pretty smart. But he basically said word for word what I and you were talking about yesterday morning, which was, well, now it's like the end of a series. And you're sort of thinking, shit, that's over. Now what do I want? It was so cute. And I thought, fuck, that's exactly it. I'm so bummed now because this is my favorite show of the fall. Now what am I going to have to watch?
See, I'm ready for it to be over.
Oh, not me. I'm so in love with it.
Yeah, but you know that for weeks after the election, too.
He
ain't going away.
It'll be so much fun.
Yeah.
But when Shepard Smith said that, I thought, fuck, that's exactly it, man.
Van Jones on CNN, I don't know if you were tuning into CNN, I think he had the most quoted thing of the night, which was, you can't polish this turd.
Polish a turd.
About the election.
Although if you want to see Phil flying on a turd, go to our Facebook page. Rich Murray. Is Rich Murray going to be there tomorrow? He's probably
Yeah, he says he is.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we got a lot of people coming, guys. And Butter Tarts McGregor's
bringing. Oh, yeah, Butter Tarts McGregor.
What do you mean?
He's bringing Butter Tarts.
Yeah,
what else do you think we need more stuff?
I think the coffee is a good call. Do you want to get
it? What about other sweets?
Well, does it have to be sweets? Why can't we have a veggie platter?
Get some seaweed strips. And salmon powder.
Can we have some smoked salmon and veggies?
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. Maybe some capers.
Too dear.
Sushi
maybe, maybe Aunt Betty over there.
She's dead.
I'm talking to you. Oh. All right, see you tomorrow from the Humble and Fred's Squatty Potty Storefront Performance Zone. Thanks, Kyle.
There's a destination a little up the road from the habitations of the towns we know. A place we saw the lights turn low, the jigsaw jazz and the jet fresh flow. Pulling out jobs and jamboree handouts, two turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans, just clap your hands, just clap your hands.